With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to FinancialSurvivalNetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and it is July 18th, 2017. My goodness, we're in the second half of the year. All sorts of interesting things always happen in the second half of the year. That's the time when crashes occur, if they're going to occur, which who knows? We'll see when that happens. But Danielle Park is with us now. Danielle, how are you?
I'm good, Carrie, and happy birthday soon to you.
Oh, don't mention that. Don't mention it. Yeah, I can't believe I'm hitting the big 6-0, but my kids are stepping up to the plate. We're going out to Cape Cod. Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. So
that's so fun.
Yeah. Well, that's why we work. The family. It's what it's all about. And hey, well, the family in the worldwide international financial fraud factory had a little setback last week, I think, or maybe it was exactly what they wanted. I'm talking about when Chairwoman Yellen said she's easing off the accelerator, at least the interest rate accelerator, and, you know, normalization of interest rates, which I think is crucial to any well-functioning economy, looks like it's on the back burner now, doesn't it?
Well, you know they want to. You know that they're, you know, staring into this extra long expansionary period that we've had with the lowest growth ever, and they realize that they've got nothing left in the kitty for when the next recession begins, and what moral suasion or confidence tools will they be able to deploy when they are fresh out of rate leverage and when they have all this QE sitting on the balance sheet already. So you know that in their heart of hearts, they want to be in hike mode. They want to say, fait accompli, you know, we were successful, we've pulled off everything we promised, and now it's time for us to normalize. The problem, of course, and this is what we saw with the Bank of Canada last week as well, you know, they are in this very precarious position because they know growth is really weak. They should have been raising rates over the last, say, 4 years. We should be back to sort of normal range now, but instead they left things every time they tried to talk about, you know, normalizing monetary conditions. As you well know, the financial markets took a hissy fit and they backed off because they're unfortunately unduly governed by what goes on in the financial markets. And that is not how they should be driving the bus. And that is not in the best interests of anyone, least of all the economy. And so they've continued to walk this tough talk and then, you know, have to ease back again when growth comes up weaker. And the economic surprise data, as you well know, in the last few months has been very negative to the downside. Canada's in this hopeless position where, you know, we've got this epic housing bubble that's like threatening to implode and seems to be doing so before our very eyes. And we know that all our economic growth has been as a product of that very sector and the overinvestment that's gone on, or speculation that's gone on. And yet, you know, the Bank of Canada is trying desperately to, so they want to raise rates to quell some of the speculation and not be, you know, seen as aiding and abetting this housing bubble. But at the same time, every time they go to move rates, the Canadian dollar spikes, which means our exports, you know, take it right in the mouth. We really don't have a good domestic story to lean on here. If we're not selling rocks and trees to the rest of the world and auto parts and, you know, oil. Your government's talking about putting a wrench in our wheel on all those topics, you are biggest customer. So it's really left us between a rock and a hard place up here.
Yeah, and yet the loonie went up 5% over the past week and a half when Yellen reversed. So
yes, but the Bank of Canada and bank, raised.
And I was about to say, yeah, and the yes, Bank of Canada yeah. raised, and looks like they'll be backtracking soon as well.
Well, we do have that precedent. As long as I've been covering financial markets, more than 20 years of it, the Bank of Canada is always behind the eight ball because they're always watching what you guys are doing. And by the time, you know, you're slowing, we're always usually in the hyper last phase of our expansion. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they start raising rates and then all of a sudden everything vanishes. It's like a mirage and all of a sudden it tanks and then everyone's trying to cut again. But as we've said, the problem is cut what? With what now? You know, here we are.
Yeah. No, there's a run out of bullets, I think, right? I mean, what can they do at this point? They bought up all of the world's investment grade bonds, right? Pretty much. They're buying up stocks right and left. The Central Bank of Switzerland admitted that they own $80 billion worth of stocks, U.S. stocks. Who knows how much other securities
Bank of Japan,
are there.
I just saw a headline. They own more than 70% of all the ETF assets in Japan right now.
Like, I didn't see that in their mandate. Did you? To buy up stocks to prop up the economy?
It's definitely not in their mandate. In fact, you know, Huntington Review did an excellent piece this for the second quarter, just talking about where this dual mandate comes from the Federal Reserve Reform Act of 1977, and that the goals mm-hmm. are the goal of maximum employment, stable prices, and moderate long-term interest rates. But they've always quoted this, ironically. Actually, there's three parts to that, as you'll notice. None of them have to do with financial markets, like i.e. buying assets. But this dual mandate, you know, is basically always truncated back to, you know, this idea that they just have to maintain interest rates and employment. But it avoids all this stuff about, you know, that they're supposed to keep moderate long-term rates, moderate, not nil to none, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. because then the system starts to fall apart, as we're right. watching right now. The institutions, the pensions, the saving function of the society cannot function when there's no incentive or compensation to savers. And, you know, the savings function is the strength of every economy. The savers are what powers the investment in the economy. They're what provides the social backstop for when the economy turns down. They are the equilibrium or the equalizer against bad stuff that can go on in the economy. And when you've disincented savings, worse, you've told everyone savings are worthless. All you need is credit. Now you're starting from a hole of unprecedented proportions, and this is the where we are.
You know, I once told somebody, you know, investment occurs when people save. The more savings you have, the more wealth can be generated in an economy. And that person told me, oh, that's not the way the economy works anymore. You know, that was the way it worked at the turn of the century, you know, going into the 20th century. Not the way it works now. And you know, once somebody...
Because originally savings was always recognized as the lifeblood of the economy. And over the past 30 years, the banks have pressed to digitize that into credit being the lifeblood of the economy. They swapped out... which was an asset for individuals' businesses. Savings is actually an asset for individuals, and the banks wanted it to become an asset for them, right? Yeah. So they basically swindled everyone into believing that that it was dormant to have savings, that you really had to give it to the banks and put it into these products they were selling, which includes, you know, borrowing, but also the financial products that they're selling. And in the process, as you well know, they became the most profitable sector in the world. They infiltrated government and regulation at every level. They've queered all the policies in their favor, and they've left IOUs in the drawer for every single one of us. So, you know, we are now in this precarious scenario of, you know, unprecedented global risk, missing funds everywhere that people are counting on it. And we really do need a rebirth, a cathartic era where people realize that that's been a bill of goods. It's been sold to us at great cost. And, you know, yes, we're falling. I'd say the pitchforks are coming for central bankers. Absolutely. We're falling out of favor. You know, most of them are on their way out probably next year. Stan Fisher's likely to step down. You know, Janet Yellen's going to finish her term. Fine. But if we're going to keep replacing them with these Goldman Sachs types or Steve or you know, Cohn next is the proposed.
Yeah, that's what I heard. What a bad idea that
is. It's going to be no change. It'll be no change. So the pitchforks have to come and insist that we have a breaking apart of this status quo. And I think that will happen, but only when people realize that they've been sold lies and that they're left with financial carnage again. And you can change those people and fire them, but that's not going to put back the money that's been wasted.
No, totally. Totally not going to change anything. But this is stuff that we always go through here, Danielle. There's nothing new about this, really, when you get down to it.
The good news, though, and I think this is the things that offset that, is, you know, now we have literally the race for savings again in the economy, where people are realizing, and savings in two senses, Carrie. Savings in that we need to build up stored, cash, buffer, pay down debt, and get into a net equity position. That's the one sense of savings that we're familiar with, but savings in the sense of spending less and wasting less. Mm-hmm. And that is how, you know, the irony is that you get savings in terms of stored wealth by saving in terms of what you're spending from your income, right? Those things are directly connected. And so now we've got the innovations in things like, you know, food production, energy production, water usage. We're getting, you know, transportation revolution happening, which means that these are the reason I'm so confident that they are, you know, the right ideas at the right time is because I'm looking at the income statements of people and saying, when you can't dramatically grow your wages, and I believe you can't dramatically grow wages in this environment of excess everything, what you do is you reduce expenditures. And where are most people spending the bulk of their income or their means is in shelter, transportation, and food. Mm-hmm. So when you have a massive revolution, as we are, you know, I put on the articles about the vertical farming, container farming, you know, Kimball Musk has opened this massive container farm in the middle of New York City, where there, you know, you can grow in one container the size of a single car garage, you can grow as much crops as 2 acres of outdoor farmland with 10 gallons of recycled water a day and LED lighting. And yes, that needs a power system, but the LED lighting transitioning to solar on-site production. Now we're talking, you know, now we're getting efficient production of food. So where Canada is so dramatically off, and you guys to some extent too, because you've had a large rebound in rents and home costs. So shelter costs are once more beyond the pale of the average person in North America. Mm-hmm. And that is a massive problem. And that will be addressed by finding more cost-effective housing. Full stop. Right. It has to be. Otherwise, you're going to have people on the street.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, you're right. I mean, it's we have to do things differently. You know, I was watching the show called Genius about Albert Einstein. It was amazing.
So well done. Yeah, right?
And the guy who played Einstein was just... I mean, you thought he was Albert Einstein, and this is so much of what he covered in his life, because what people didn't realize after he did the theory of relativity and he got his Nobel Peace Prize, then he became a great humanitarian and really thought about things of what is the best for humanity. And we just don't have people, enough people out there thinking of these things. You know, with what's going on today, Danielle, they seem to be indifferent.
Well, you know, but again, it goes back to this cultural swing. And I think that, you know, what I loved about that series was it showed Einstein warts and all. It showed him as a complex person who failed in many ways in terms of a father, in terms of a spouse.
Yeah.
But, you know, this idea that people have to be perfect, we have to throw that out. No one's perfect. Yeah. But it's a question of what value do they add with their work. And in the case of the past, you know, 15 years, the extractors have been heavily rewarded. The sales force of selling things that are actually harmful to humanity, of, you know, the wrong products, services, food systems, all this stuff that's cost us all so great. I think the next test is going to be, you know, those who have a larger worldview, who are not driven just by, you know, financial remuneration and are saying, wait, we can do this a lot smarter. And I think, you know, that again, through the internet, we have now the ability for those people to connect and reach an audience and influence and, mm-hmm. you know, direct sell product, you know, this, the blockchain structure in so many things, which is to cut out all these, you know, middle people and just say, you know, power to the people, food to the people, mm-hmm. energy, shared transportation.
Yes.
You know, I love the stuff about shared transportation because it's so perfect, you know. The stats are that 4% of the time we're using our individual vehicles, and yet people, even if it's paid for, which many people are taking 8 to 9 years to pay off their cars these days.
We're not even going to go there today, Danielle, because that's fodder for a whole nother show.
Yeah. Really, well, I'm just saying, you know, by cutting out all those excess costs, you get to a much leaner expenditure, and that's how you get back to affordability. And that's how you get back to building up savings in the economy again. And that's the key.
That really is it, isn't it? It's kind of a return back to basics, if you will, to doing things the way we used to. What made the country great wasn't because we were a consumer society in the U.S. I'm talking about. It was because we were producing society and a saving, thrifty society. I've been as guilty of it as anyone else, but we got to change. We got to go back. There's no other way. The way forward is the way back. That's really what it comes down to. So that pretty much we got to wrap up now. I'm running late all day as usual, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Make sure you check out Danielle's work over at jugglingdynamite.com. Sign up on her newsletter. Go over to FSN. You'll find a link to Danielle's site there. Emails kl@carrylutz.com. Twitter feed's @CarrieLutz. Facebook page Financial Survival Network. Danielle, we will talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Carrie.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.